So that's, potentially there's going to be another 6.8 to 8.5 million shares issued by sometime July.
Let's go to the cash. I mean, how much cash do you have on hand, and then how long does it carry you?
Right now, we got about 5 million. That 5 million should take us right through this drill program right now, get all the assays done, and still leave a little left over in the kitty. And that basically takes us right through kind of to spring. So we're good for now. Good for the program, which is about a 6,500 meter drill program that we're doing right now. We currently have one rig at the property, and we're right now just considering whether we bring a second rig onto the property here for next year. And we're looking at kind of grades around 100 grams per ton. So it would give us a resource that's in the same ballpark as Aftermath if that were to work out. So that would be the target we're trying to get to. Obviously, their market cap is significantly larger than us. So that's something that we'd kind of aspire to get to here in the next maybe year or so.
Good day. We have Derek Iwanaka, CEO of Prince Silver. Derek, good to see you again.
Thanks, Steve, and great to see you as well.
Derek, congratulations on your new role. You've been with Prince Silver. Curious for how long, but if you can give us the brief 30-second overview where the project is, what stage it's in, and why it matters.
Well, I'm a seasoned veteran, so I've been here a full 3 weeks on the job now, so pretty much know everything. No, I mean, in all seriousness, it is a very new role for me. Coming from a investor relations and corporate development background. So it's been really exciting. Obviously, you have a great backdrop with gold and silver prices at all-time highs. So timing is excellent, and hopefully still has a lot of room to go. And from the experts that I've been talking to, it feels like we do have a lot of room to grow. Why do I like, I guess, the projects, or why did I get involved? That seems to be a common thing that's come up, and there's a lot. I mean, we could talk on this show for a while, but I mean, I'd say the main things for me were it's advanced stage exploration. We're on the verge of getting to a resource estimate here, I think, within a year's time, and that would, I think, set us apart from most exploration companies. I've been with a couple of exploration companies myself, and getting to that resource stage takes a lot of money. Obviously, there's permitting and there's the drilling, and the drilling has to go right. And that is like one of the biggest question marks is, you have all these indications that you have a deposit there, but until you drill it, you never know. And so for us, we have kind of the satisfaction of having past drilling completed already in the past. And in this case, a lot. There's about 130 holes that were historically done on the project. So that gives me a bit of comfort that there is something there, and it was a past producing mine. So, there obviously was an economic deposit at one point there. And I think there's a lot of metal left over from those days. It shut down in 1949. So certainly with today's modern technology and modern mining methods, I think that we could make this into hopefully an economic mine here one day.
Derek, based off the drilling results, what do you believe you have in the ground in terms of grade, scale, and upside?
So I can only go by right now historical drilling results. Our own drilling results haven't actually come out. So we did start on a drill program in September. That is probably going to run through till the spring of next year. So first results won't be coming out probably for another couple of weeks. I suspect, we're almost at Christmas now, so we probably won't see drilling results coming out until the new year. So I can't tell you what those grades are going to be. I can tell you historically what it's done. It has historically produced 1.1 million tons of ore, and that was at about 100 grams per ton silver. So, obviously that would be a target that we like to get to, that type of grade. It ultimately it was a polymetallic project. It had quite a bit of zinc in it as well, and so ultimately the average grade was about 11% zinc equivalent. Now that we've come back to it, we're not exactly targeting the zinc. We're actually targeting more of the silver. So that's why we're, you know, the project is called the Prince Silver Project for a reason, and that's because it does have a large silver component.
Derek, how much of it is, like, is it a mainly silver producing mine? Because I know those are pretty difficult to find.
I guess, well, we'll have to see how the drilling really goes, but that's basically what we're targeting, is mostly the silver. But like I said, there is other minerals in there. So, I mean, there is gold in there. There is lead, there is zinc. There is also manganese in there. That can be a positive. It sometimes can be a negative as well. We don't know yet. And so we have embarked on a metallurgical study on particularly to see what the recoveries are and what's the best process to get a good output in terms of the manganese, what kind of product can that produce, and then of course the silver and the lead and the gold and so on. So that is ongoing right now. I don't expect we're going to see any results from that until sometime into maybe Q1 or Q2 of next year.
Well, I love the jurisdiction, and I like that as a past producing mine. Curious as to the history of the mine there, and if you can tell me about the closest neighbors or any realistic comps that you're looking at.
I guess not a lot of neighbors at the moment in terms of really close projects, but I just was down at the project about a week and a half ago now. It's basically just littered with past producing mines. Most of them have been shut down for 50 years plus. In our case, it's more like 80 years plus. So it's been a long time since it's seen a lot of production. So you can see headframes literally all over the place. You can't drive more than 10 or 15 minutes without, you know, stumbling across another headframe or some sort of added or drift in the ground. So lots of past production, but hasn't seen a lot of modern work. There is probably, I guess, the closest operating mine that I know of right now probably be the Eli Robinson mine, which is operated by KGHM. That is probably 100 kilometers to the north of us, so it is a bit of a ways from us. So not a lot of really close neighbors, which is great right now, because, you know, ultimately, if this project gets larger, it'd be great if we could acquire that additional land.
So I guess two questions that come to mind is, one, why hasn't there been activity for 50 years? I know that's not too uncommon. And what excites you about it now? And what makes you go, okay, now's a good time? And then two, if you can, you know, tell me about the infrastructure in place. Is it remote? I mean, what else is there?
Not very remote at all. So it's about a 2.5 hour drive from Las Vegas. So one of the easiest projects you could probably ever dream of to get to, especially for a geologist who's used to working in some remote jungle or far northern areas of the world. This project is really easy. You have cell reception right up to the drill rig. So it's, you know, can't get better in terms of infrastructure. There's a highway that goes up to the project, power lines, water is accessible. So you have a lot of great infrastructure in place already. And that's, you know, I think that's another thing that probably gets overlooked, is that it is just so easy to access when you can literally just drive off the highway and it's like a 2-minute drive on a dirt road to get actually to the drill rig. So it's one of the nicest ones that I can remember, because, you know, I've come from a background of, well, most recently operating in Zambia. We also operated in Japan and Idaho. Those projects were all, you know, relatively remote. The Zambian the Zambian one in particular was fairly remote. So yeah, I can really appreciate this with the infrastructure.
Let's go to the share structure a bit. If you can walk us through the cap table, shares outstanding, fully diluted, key options, warrants, any meaningful insider or institutional ownership?
Yeah, 51 million, about 51 million shares outstanding. That is obviously going to increase at some point here, but we're at about 51.6 million shares outstanding. Warrants, we're sitting at about 10.5 million right now. There are some rights. There's 8.5 million rights out there. The way that works is the company that we acquired, we effectively issued them 15 million shares. Included with those 15 million shares were 8.5 million rights. So those rights would get exercised after we either make up the milestone, which is completing a resource estimate. If we complete that resource within the 4 years, those rights get issued out. If it's within the first year of the agreement, which would take us to July of this year, sorry, July of next year, that would mean there'd be a 20% discount on those rights that would be issued. So that'd take it down to, I think it's 6.8 million shares that would then get distributed out. So that's, potentially there's going to be another 6.8 to 8.5 million shares issued by sometime July.
Let's go to your the cash. I mean, how much cash do you have on hand, and then how long does it carry you?
Right now, we got about 5 million. That 5 million should take us right through this drill program right now, get all the assays done, and still leave a little left over in the kitty. And that basically takes us right through kind of to spring. So we're good for now. Good for the program, which is about a 6,500 meter drill program that we're doing right now. We currently have one rig at the property, and we're right now just considering whether we bring a second rig onto the property here for next year.
Derek, where are you guys with market cap, and where do you see the biggest disconnect or opportunity for investors right now?
Well, I mean, I think I didn't answer your question earlier about what will be a comparable. I mean, Aftermath Silver would probably be a nice comparable that we like to look at because it has the silver, it has the manganese. I think it has some similar geology. We've actually sent our material samples to Skyline Laboratory, which is exactly the same laboratory that that Aftermath was using to do the metallurgical studies for them. So we're hoping we can cut some time, hopefully cut some costs, get them to do the work for us, and ultimately try to figure out the best process for the material there. So Aftermath Silver would probably be a good comp that we'd like to compare ourselves at least with right now. They're more advanced. They have a relatively large resource. I think they're sitting at about 148 or 150 million ounces of silver. For us, that's kind of the target. There was previously a what you call an Australian JORC compliant or JORC resource target or exploration target. And that was looking at between 23 to sorry, 25 to about 43 million tons. And we're looking at kind of grades around 100 grams per ton. So it would give us a resource that's in the same ballpark as Aftermath if that were to work out. So that would be the target we're trying to get to. Obviously, their market cap is significantly larger than us. So that's something that we'd kind of aspire to get to here in the next maybe year or so.
So I am an investor with Aftermath, and one of the reasons
Oh,
why I
okay.
like what I liked about them was the manganese you mentioned, the kicker.
Yes.
I mean, that's a really big deal. I mean, how much of that do you have? Do you guys have a significant amount? What value do you see having manganese in your project?
So we don't know exactly how much is going to be there, so that's why we're doing the drilling right now. There was manganese in the system when they were mining back in the day, but it wasn't really reported because it wasn't of as much of a significant amount. So with the drilling right now, we're really going to have to see what those drill results come out with. So we'll have to wait and see on that part, how much is actually in there. But there seems to be appreciable manganese in the past drilling, but I will kind of want to wait and see what we get with our drilling before I kind of quote any numbers.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Can you tell us anything about your team? Maybe any other news that you might have coming out that you're able to share?
Yeah, there's two particular people I'd probably want to point out. One is Ralph Shearing. So Ralph was previously CEO of a company called Luka Mining. He's also CEO of a company called Gold Group. So he's been an executive. It feels like his whole career. So, some 30 years plus, he's been in the mining sector. So he's kind of been a big help to me, especially because I'm a new CEO. So I've kind of been learning from him. But most recently, I was just down in Nevada, got to check out the projects and met with our project geologist. His name is Harrison Matson, and you know, he basically knows this ground inside out, backwards and forwards. You know, he like literally lives and breathes the geology down there. And you know, he is an older gentleman, but highly intelligent, and I have a lot of respect for him now that I've met him in person. So so he's a big part of the team, and he has you know, our confidence in getting hopefully a maiden resource out by next year.
Any other news you'd like to share, and where are you trading, and how can people find you?
Yes, I would say probably the biggest news to look forward to would be the drilling results. So that hopefully will be here in the next 4 weeks or so. So sometime early in the new year. You know, we have a whole bunch of stuff that I can't really tell you publicly right now that are in the works, but the drilling mm-hmm. results would definitely be the biggest one. As I said, we are working on a metallurgical study, but we probably won't see results here for, you know, 3 or 4 months at least. And then, you know what, there's always some M&A opportunities, I think, out there as well. So those to look forward to. And then if the drilling goes well, we would have hopefully a maiden resource by next year. So that one, that there's definitely a question mark there. Is it depends on how the drilling goes. But from what we're seeing visually, at least Harrison, I'm not a geologist, but what Harrison is telling me, and Ralph has also confirmed, is that we're seeing all the right rocks. And that is very indicative of having good mineralization, but ultimately we got to see what the results come back with.
Derek, could you give the ticker and the where you're trading
oh, yes.
on your website one more time?
Yes, trading on the Canadian Stock Exchange, symbol is PRNC, and current market cap, I think we're sitting at around 23 million Canadian, so I guess that's maybe around 16, 17 US.
And is it princesilver.com?
PrinceSilverCorp.com.
Great.
Yes.
For our listeners, we will put the links to the website as well as the ticker symbols in the show notes. Full disclosure, disclaimer, Derek and Prince Silver are not sponsors, do not pay for this interview. I am currently, Natural Resource Stocks are not currently investors in the company, although that may change. We are not giving investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. And one of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Derek and ask him questions. And Derek, I appreciate your time and letting us reconnect. For everyone, stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined, and look at Prince Silver and everything else. And let's be careful here. I mean, and exciting times. But Derek, thank you so much for teaching us about Prince Silver.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show again, too.